because of that, I want to encourage and call for us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week. Pick at least one of those days, and I'm calling for us to have a time of fasting and prayer over the election. We have some handouts out there. Hope you got one. If not, you can get one on the way out. Just some little encouragement about fasting and praying and how to pray for our election that's coming up. You know, it's critical. You know, the Bible says that, you know, that when the righteous rule, a city, a nation is exalted. Isn't that true? And we want God's will to be done. We want God's person to be put in there. We want the will of heaven to be done. And I think it's so important that I'm asking all of you who are members of Grace. I know we got visitors this morning, but maybe you would like to do it as well. But I want to encourage you, at least one day, maybe some of you want to fast and pray all 3 days, but at least one day, take one day and let's fast and pray and cry out to God. Also out there at the Information Center, we've got some sheets I made up about fasting. That's some very good information about how to fast, different types of fasting, the spiritual principles behind it that I've taught here. So I don't have time to go over that today, but the information's out there. It's free, so make sure you get it. Hallelujah. Well, turn to Matthew 5 if you've got your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 5. I believe that we're living in a great, great time of opportunity for the church. Amen. Amen. Absolutely. You know the light. You know, one old saint said this. He said, "The light shines brightest where it's darkest." Isn't that true? And even though we may look around on the landscape of our nation, we may look at our culture, we may even look in some areas of our life, and it looks like that it's so dark, that it's so hopeless, that, like I was saying earlier, that it seems like the answers are beyond the scope of man's wisdom. I want to tell you something. There is a connection that we can make that is higher, that is grander, that is greater than anything of the wisdom and ability of man. And I believe that this can be the finest hour for the body of Christ that we've ever known. But here's the thing. We've got to do, like they used to say, carpe diem, hadn't we? We've got to seize the day, seize the moment, seize the hour. And I believe that begins with the house of God. And I believe God wants to revive His people. I do. And I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning from God's Word about the reviving, God wanting to revive His people. There's some things here. And the keynote thing that I want us to look at here that I think is the master key of revival is found right here in one of the Beatitudes that Jesus taught in Matthew 5, verse 6. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I believe the master key for revival as far as man's part goes. And how many of you know in revival there's God's part and there's man's part? Amen. Amen. God has to send, but man has to prepare his heart. Amen. Amen. God's not going to pour out His Spirit where there is not a receptive and open heart. You and I, we are responsible for preparing our hearts and being ready to receive what God wants to pour out upon us. Because, you know, especially, and I would encourage you, if you're not able to be here on Wednesday nights, go on our website, graceonthemove.us, go on the audio link, and on the podcast there, I've been talking about the church on Wednesday nights, because I want us to understand who we are as the body of Christ, and who God is in us, and what our purpose and our mission and our calling is. And God is going to use, the only instrument God's using right now to get His gospel out is the church. That's you and I, the blood-bought people of God. He's going to use you and I. So we're going to have to be the vessel that God pours into and flows out of. Amen? Amen. Listen, God is going to use you. You and I. Just regular, you know, regular. We've been hearing a lot. What was it about the, what was the plumber's guy's name? Yeah, plumber, you know, Joe the plumber. Joe the plumber. God's just going to use Joe the Christian. Betty the Christian. You know what I mean? Just the genetic. He's just going to use regular people like you and I. Regular people. Christians who are saved. Who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Who have the power of God. Who have the Word of God on the inside of them. He is going to use you and I. But here's the thing. There has to be a fresh hunger stirred up within our lives. This is the master key. Notice he said, blessed are those who hunger because what? They will be filled. An appetite for God becomes a driving force. I guarantee you, about 12:05 today, when I dismiss all of you, there's going to be a driving force that's going to cause you to flood out to the restaurants, or maybe you're going to go home and fix something. But there's going to be a driving force sometime today that's going to get you to a table. And you're going to pull up at that table and you're going to begin to eat something, aren't you? Yeah, absolutely. Because appetite, an appetite in the natural is a driving force, isn't it? An appetite, it motivates you. It causes you to seek after some sustenance, doesn't it? And the same thing is true in our spiritual walk. There needs to be a spiritual appetite that is stirred up again within the body of Christ, because that becomes a driving force. A driving force what? A driving force to God. A driving force to cause us to cry out to God. God, I need you in a greater measure. God, I need your Spirit, your anointing upon my life. I need you to break out and break through in my life. I need you to flow through my life like never before. When I look out and I see the hurting and the broken, when I see the lost, the dying and sighing people of humanity, there ought to be something that rises up on the inside of us born again, spirit filled people that said that there's a cry out, God, we've got to see the move of God. Father, we've got to see it now. We've got to see your Spirit poured out. And you know what? It drives us to God in prayer. It drives us to God in prayer. You know something, Smith Wigglesworth, how many know who Smith Wigglesworth were? Okay, if you don't know, ask somebody after the service that raised their hand. You know, Smith Wigglesworth was a great apostle of faith, great man of God at the turn of the previous century. And, you know, he used to say this. He said, I'm satisfied with a dissatisfied satisfaction. That says it pretty well, doesn't it? That yes, we do have God in our lives. And yes, there is a great comfort and a great peace there. But at the same time, I have a hunger for more of God. I have a hunger for more God. Maybe you have enough God for you. But listen, God wants you to have enough God for somebody else. He wants you to have enough God for that person, that neighbor across the street, that person that's bound with alcohol, that person that's living in darkness. He wants you to have enough, more than enough of God in your life, not only to meet your needs, but for you to cry out to God on behalf of the hurting and broken in our city, in your neighborhood, for God to move upon this nation. So there needs to be. See, when we get hungry, we're no longer satisfied. You know, after you eat a big meal, it would be mighty hard to be tempted. I mean, you're just, you know, think about Thanksgiving. Remember after you eat that Thanksgiving meal and you're just stuffed. I mean, you know, when you started out, the turkey was stuffed. At the end, you're stuffed. Isn't that right? You're just stuffed. You know, I mean, man, you've just had so much good stuff. And you know how it is. You got to try a little bit of all of it. Because you don't want that person that went to all that trouble to think you didn't appreciate it. So, you know, and you're so full. At that moment, I mean, you just finished up. I mean, you're stuffed. You had everything. I mean, you know, you had turkey. You had dressing. You had all the good stuff and the special stuff you make. And you had the dessert. You had it all. And then at that moment, I bring out a big old 16-ounce sirloin. You're not going to want, that's not going to appeal to you one bit. You don't want that. You're absolutely stuffed. And see, we have to understand that there are times, I believe this with all my heart, that God begins to stir in us. He stirs in us and puts within us those who are willing a hunger for God. A hunger for God. There begins to be a dissatisfaction. Thank God for what God has done in my life. Thank God for all the things God's brought me through and the things He's done. But God, there is a stirring that's rising within me. There's something within me that says there's more of God to be had. There's more that God wants to do, not only in my life, but there's more that God wants to do in my nation, in my city, my community. We need God to move in our nation. Oh, church, listen, that's the only answer. Listen, it doesn't matter. If they do figure it out and get the economy back on track, that won't save one soul. That won't prevent one person from going to hell. I'm telling you what, listen, I don't care how big a house that they're living in, there's still the leanness of their soul that only Jesus can answer. And that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to be salt and light. Amen. So there's a dissatisfaction. And I believe too that this hunger causes us to move toward God. And that's the part, our part, for revival to come. God is wanting to send it. God is wanting to pour out His Spirit afresh and anew. The Apostle Peter was preaching and he said over there in Acts, he said, repent and cry out to God that He may send what? Times of refreshing from the Lord. I tell you, we need refreshing in the body of Christ. We need a refreshing move and pouring out of the Spirit of God upon our life. I can remember a time, you probably remember when you first got saved. Do you remember that? Oh my goodness, they couldn't keep you. Listen, it didn't matter. Man, if the church door was open, it didn't matter what they were doing. If they was having a women's meeting, I wanted to be there. And and they tell me, well, you can't come to this meeting. This is just for ladies. I felt hurt. I can't come. I just wanted to be. Man, if God was doing, I wanted to be there. If the service was an hour, I was wondering, why are they stopping now? I'm hungry. Come on, let's worship some more. Come on, give me some more. I'm ready. But you know, and I remember the times and seasons where that was the temperature of the body of Christ. Man, we were thrilled about God. We're excited about God. I mean, man, somebody said, God healed my cat. We thought, yes, amen. We were praying for a washing machine. You say, well, you were crazy. Well, maybe we were a little bit, but I'm telling you what, we were hot for God. We were hot for God. Listen, I'm like one brother said, I'd rather have a little wildfire in the church than the order of a graveyard. Bless God, you can control wildfire a little bit, but I'm telling you, it's tough raising the dead. God wants to do something. God wants to do something in our lives that's fresh and new. And we return back to a passion for God and for His kingdom. Listen, folks, how are people going to make it to heaven unless we do something? How many believe there's just one way to heaven? Y'all hadn't swallowed this stuff where, they're trying to tell us, in our culture now, well, it really don't matter. Jesus, Muhammad, Confucius, yoga, they're all paths. Yeah, they're all paths, all right. But how many of you not know all paths don't necessarily lead to the same place? We know that in the natural, isn't that right? Oh, no. And I want to tell you what. Like that great wise manager of the Yankees said a long time ago, Casey Stengel, he said, if you don't know where you're going, you're liable to wind up someplace else. Pretty deep for a baseball coach, isn't it? Whew, but it's truth in it, isn't it? And so we have to be convinced, listen, God, You're the only answer. You're the only truth. That's why I'm saying, in times like this, when it's very obvious, even to everybody, that men do not have the answer. Listen, I want to tell you, whoever gets elected, you know what? We're going to pray for them as the body of Christ. Are you listening to me? Might not be your person. But I got news for you. Whoever gets in, they ain't got the answer, honey. I don't care what they tell you. They ain't got the answer. But here's the thing. Listen, the answer resides in God, and God resides in the church, and it's up to us. So in these difficult times, this is our opportunity to shine. This is our opportunity to tell people, look, listen, we got the answer. Oh, I wouldn't want to tell people I got the answer. Well, then, bless God, you need to get the answer. Because Jesus is the answer. Somebody says, what's the question? Any of the questions you got, He's the answer. Because the Bible says all the wisdom of God dwells in Him. Amen? So here's the thing. So this hunger begins to push us in prayer, begins to push us toward God. We begin to run after God. We begin to wait upon God in prayer. We begin to get hungry for our Bible again. We begin to get hungry for fellowship and worship with the saints. It pushes us. And God uses that. We become a catalyst. a catalyst. You look throughout the scriptures, God always had a catalyst. Amen. He had an Abraham. He had a Joseph. He had a Moses. He had a John the Baptist. He had a Jesus. He had a Paul. He had a Timothy. He had someone who got hungry for God, who cried out to God, and they begin to be the catalyst for God to move on the earth again. I mean, he used goat herders. Listen. You say, but I'm not so great. I don't know the Bible all that well. I don't know this. I don't know that. I don't have a big education. I'm not some big shot. Listen, God used goat herders and sheep herders. You think about it. And I want to tell you something. This is just a word for some people here. If you're feeling dry right now, you're feeling dry. I mean, you may be feeling dry as last year's bird nest. I mean, dry as a stick. You ever say, you know, just a stick? Did you know that back in the Old Testament, God called all the 12 princes of the tribes together. He said, all of you bring your dry stick. That's what he told them. And they took all the dry sticks and they put the names of the princes on each stick. And they took these dry sticks in to the tent of meeting. That's where the presence of God was. They put those sticks in there. And the next morning when they got up, they brought the sticks out. There was a stick that had come to life. A stick that had leaves on it and branches on it and had produced almond fruit overnight. You know why? Because that stick got into the presence of the living God. And when that stick got into the presence of God, something transformed it. Something was transferred into it. Life came into it. And overnight, it came alive and produced fruit. So if you're feeling dry, I want to tell you something. You get into the presence of God. You say, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to tell you one of the best ways is you just start worshiping God. You spend time, you get you a good worship tape or something, you put that thing on, you just start worshiping God. You start worshiping God. You lift those hands up, you start worshiping God. You start declaring God's word over your life. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my refuge and strength. The Lord, He is the vine, I am the branch. His life is flowing in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. I begin to quote God's word. I begin to worship God for His goodness and His greatness. I begin to declare who God is over my life, in my life. All of a sudden there is a transfer of the Spirit of God. The anointing of God begins to come into me. Something begins to stir me. And I begin to pursue God all the harder. See, we got to get out of that spiritual inertia. If we just kind of sit down and, you know, we just got a Christianity of convenience now. You know, I pray when it's convenient. I come to church when it's convenient. But, you know, if it's too much going on and there's a decision between doing that and doing something else, well, you know, listen, I can remember, man, when I first got saved, I wasn't all the churches around now, you know, like it was back then, you know. Of course, I'm talking about, you know, a long time ago. Some of you wasn't even born when I'm talking about. And some of you were a lot younger. I ain't looking at nobody. I'm looking down at my shoes. But way back then, you know, I remember when I got saved, there weren't all the good churches, Spirit-filled churches. Man, I remember we'd work hard all day. And I mean, we got off work. We rushed home. My brother and I, man, we'd get changed. We'd take a quick shower, man. We'd drive 50 miles one way just to be in a meeting where somebody was teaching a word, where there was a presence of God could be felt. Oh, we were so hungry. And I'm going to tell you what, bless that brother. I'm telling you, he's going to have a great reward for putting up with me and my crazy brother. We were both crazy, but we were just so hungry. Lord of mercy. I mean, the Bible study started at 7, and bless God, we wouldn't leave to 1:30. Oh, bless that boy. He was so patient. But we were so hungry. We were so hungry. Now, where is that hunger again? Where is that hunger again? You know, the preacher goes over 10 minutes. Man, looking at the watch. You not hungry? Oh, you hungry, all right. But you hungry for Golden Corral. You're hungry for Red Lobster. Are you getting hungry? Listen, I'm talking about a hunger that holds us close to God. I said, God, I've got to know you more. I've got to have more of you in my life. I've got to see more. I've got to see you. God, I don't want the theory of it. I'm not interested in the theory of resurrection. I want resurrection. I'm not interested in the theory of it. I'm not interested in the theory of forgiveness of sin. I want true forgiveness. I want release. I want redemption. I want salvation. I'm not interested in the theory of healing. I want to be free from sickness and pain in my body. I'm tired of the theories. I'm tired of all that. I'm tired of the Christian rhetoric. I want to see the reality and the power of it flowing in my life. Can I get a witness from anybody? And the thing about a hunger is it drives you until it is satisfied. You get a spiritual hunger on the inside. Jesus said, blessed. Blessed. Why are you blessed? Because you're going to be blessed as you respond to that spiritual hunger and you go after God. You go after God. And see, here's the thing. You can begin to be a catalyst. You can be a catalyst for this church. Amen. Everybody don't have to start at the same time. But I'll tell you what, somebody needs to get started. Somebody get hungry here at Grace. Somebody get thirsty after God. Somebody begin to cry after God. Somebody begin to pursue God with a passion, with a new passion. You know what? You become a catalyst. Amen. People get around you. They will either get around you or get away from you. Isn't that right? Because you'll be so hot. Either they're going to get hot like you are, or they're going to try to get away from you because they can't stand the heat. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, a hunger. And listen, one of the signs that God is doing something in your life, individually and corporately, is when we sense a hunger. A hunger. If I wasn't hungry for God, I'm going to tell you what, I'd be concerned. You ever, in the natural, you ever taken care of somebody, maybe a sick child or a sick person? You know, when somebody gets sick, you know, really sick, you know, one of the first things is a sign of that sickness, they lose their appetite. They're not hungry. You can put the most wonderful meal, you can put their, used to be their favorite foods before them, and you know what? They don't want it. You ever been there? Man, you don't want it, that's the last thing you want. You don't want that. You don't want that. And here's the thing. If I wasn't hungry for God, I'll tell you what, I would check my spiritual health and I would be concerned if I wasn't hungry for God. Because you begin to sit and you begin to stagnate, and the enemy and the attitudes of the enemy and the attitudes of this world begin to get on you. And that doubting thing begins to get on you. And the next thing you know, that discouragement tries to get on you. And that fear tries to get on you. Listen. That's why Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, son, you need to stir yourself up. Yeah. He said, evidently, Paul diagnosed something that was going on in Timothy. There was something going on there in Timothy that wasn't just right. Something wasn't quite right. Mm-hmm. You know, he commended Timothy on his faith. Yeah. He said, on your faith and the faith that your mother and your grandmother had. And he said, I'm convinced it's in you, but Timothy, you need to stir it up. And I'm convinced if you're a believer in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. I'm convinced it's in you, but some of us need to stir it up like Timothy did. We need to stir it up. Amen? So if I wasn't hungry, I'd begin to seek God. I'd begin to worship God. I'd begin to get into prayer with God. I'd begin to get into this word with God. Amen? I'd look at my life. I'd look at the landscape and say, okay, wait a minute. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Amen. And in priorities in life, listen, you better make God your priority. Amen. Because if he's third or fourth, I can tell you what's going to happen. He's going to get crowded out. You better make him first. You better get back to God. You better stir yourself up. You better examine yourself. Amen. Listen, also, this hunger, what does it do? It signals us that God is getting ready to do something. Because, see, Jesus promised this. He said, if you're hungry and thirsty, he said, you're going to be filled. Amen. To the degree that you hunger and thirst, to that degree, God's going to move in a fresh new way in your life. Amen. And listen, you can make a big place for God, or you can make a small place for God. I would to God that you'd make it big. I would to God that you'd make it big. Because I'm going to tell you, if you really look down and assess all the things we're pursuing in the light of eternity, what's more important? What's really more important? Because a lot of things that we pursue, they're going to pass away. And I'm going to tell you, 100 years from now, you're not going to give a flip about what kind of car you drove. You don't care. You won't care if you drove an old clunker. I'm not saying you have to, but listen, first things first. Isn't that right? First things first. It won't matter if you lived in a 50,000 square foot house or a 500 square foot house. And 100 years from now, you won't care. You could care less. Yeah, 100 years from now, you won't care if you dressed in Armani or, you know, or if you got something from S&K. Come on. Listen, we have to, it starts with reassessing our priorities. What is your priority? You know, you can tell your priority, you know, your time, your money, amen, and your gifts. How are we using them? Oh, well, Pastor, you know, I just got to have, you know, I need so much time for myself. Well, maybe you need to die to some of that time and spend some more of that time pursuing God. Spend some time hungering and thirsting after God. Because he said you'd be filled. Amen. You'd be filled. Amen. You'd be filled. You know, I think in the Christian world, some of our terminology, sometimes I think, you know, we should change up and get some different terminology. Especially in us, what we call spirit-filled churches. Because we say, well, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You know, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, listen, if you really look at that carefully, the Bible says that we are to constantly being filled. In other words, it's not just a one-time event. You can have, there are many experiences in God. Isn't that right? Many experiences. Oh, it's wonderful. Listen, you can have all kinds of experiences in God. And they're precious and they're wonderful and they're holy. But here's the thing. He said, just because you have an experience in God doesn't mean that you're still being filled. It's a constant, ongoing thing in our lives. And listen, when we lose our hunger, that's a good indication that we're not being filled. Amen? And so we need to do that. Let's turn over, if you would, in your Bible real quickly. Turn over to the book of Ephesians. Are you still out there? Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled, and like I say in the Greek, this is a continuous thing. It really means be being filled with the Spirit. Now, how do we do that, and how do we know that? Notice he said, speak to one another with psalms, with hymns, and with spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says here. It starts out with this. Do you have a song? How do you know that you're filled? Well, again, let's take a natural example. You take a glass and you start pouring water into it, or you stick it under the faucet. How do you know when it's full? It starts running over, doesn't it? And that's what this is. Praise, worship, psalms, hymns, prophecy. Hello. Tongues, all that. You know what that is? That is evidence, what? That you are being filled. See, if I put water in that glass and I fill it up halfway, guess what? There's still room. There's still room. And if you stop before it's completely full and running over, you're not being filled. I didn't say that you didn't have God in your life. I said you're not being filled. And so what God wants us to do, he says, be being filled. And so when we look, let me ask you this. Are you speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs? When's the last time, you know, you got caught singing praises to God when you didn't have to? You know, we come in here, you know, everybody's looking around. So, you know, we kind of feel that pressure. We got to, you know, everybody's going to see me if I don't look spiritual. I know how you think. Hey, man, we're all human. But here's the thing. When nobody's looking, when nobody's around, when you're just by yourself, when you're driving in the car, when you, or whatever, maybe you're just doing something in the kitchen, ladies, or whatever, guys out in the yard, or whatever you're doing. Man, are you, is there any song? Is there prayer going up? Is there worship going up? Are you prophesying? Is something happening? Is there a bubbling up of those other tongues that God has given you? Is something flowing out of you? Or do you just feel dry? I mean, and somebody comes to you and says, I need you to pray, and you're thinking, oh, God. Know what I mean? You've been there? Man, you're feeling so dry and feel like God 10 million miles away. And somebody says, I need you to pray. I need a miracle. And you're thinking, so do I. You know, you got that nice smile on your face. So do I. And we pray. And listen, you know, let's be honest. We know sometimes, how many of you know sometimes you pray? But it don't get it. It just don't meet the muster, does it? Let's be honest. You ever been there? You know, but I'm going to tell you what. You can tell, man, somebody comes to pray, and you're filled with the Spirit of the living God. I mean, bless God, from the first word, bam, you're connected to God. I'm connected, man. There's something flowing out. There's something connecting with heaven, with heaven's power. There's something that's flowing out of me in this prayer. And it will. Prayer does produce miracles. Listen, our hurting world is out there. You know what? And we've got to be prepared to go out into it. You know, most Christians, or I shouldn't say most, but a lot of Christians, might be most, but a lot of Christians, you know what? They're in Christian survival mode. They got just enough of God in their life to try to hang on from Sunday to Sunday. Come on. Oh, you know, somebody pray for me. Oh, somebody help me, you know, and Lord of mercy, you sure don't feel like you got enough to reach out to anybody else. I think that's a big thing. I don't think it's not that we don't want to help other people. We don't want to reach out to other people. But I feel like this. A lot of people feel like I don't have anything to give. I just don't have anything to give. Let's call a pastor. Let's call so-and-so. They got something. Come on. But listen, I want to encourage you this morning. Everybody, if you're a believer, everybody's got something. You can have that. But here's the thing. The problem is that your glass is not overflowing. It needs to overflow. We need to be being filled with the Spirit. We need to have a song of praise. We need to have words of faith that just come bubbling out of us. So when I get around somebody else, I'm thinking, bless God. Yeah, I'm telling you what, God can take care of that. God can save. God can forgive. God can heal. God can deliver your child from drugs. God will do it. God will do it. You just, all you got to do is agree. You just stand there. Bless God, I'm going to get a hold of God. God's in me. And I want to tell you what, if the people start seeing a church like that, listen, we won't be able to hold the people. Which is, that's unimportant in itself anyway. But I just say that by way of illustration. We won't be able to hold the people. People will be flocking. You know, why did people come to Jesus so much? I mean, you know, but that's true. All that you said is true. But here's the thing. We could sum it up this way. We could put all the things that he did this way. What? Is what? He knew God. And God flowed from him. Isn't that true? Even his words were different. Remember, they sent the Romans to arrest him. And of course, they came back without him. They said, why didn't you arrest him? We never heard anybody speak the way he speaks. It wasn't that his words and his theology was so radically different. But there was life in his words. Life flowing out of him. And people recognize it. They might not could have told you what it was. They might not have had the theological framework or the Christianese to tell you what it is. But I'm going to tell you what. If you've got God flowing out of you, when people get around you, they know something is different about you. And if you can get around them and they don't recognize that something's different about you, then you need to get back and begin to worship God some more and seek God some more and begin to get in this Word and build yourself up to the point to where people get around you. They can't ignore and they can't deny the presence of God that is in you. Man, when we get like that, you talk about witnessing being easy. They come to you. Amen. They'll come to you. Amen. They'll come to you. There'll be a boldness about you. Say, look, God can solve whatever you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You're getting ready to go through a divorce. God can straighten that out. God can straighten out that relationship problem. God can straighten out that problem. God can heal your body. God can get your child delivered from drugs. But instead, too often, we're just doing the same. We're giving them the same answers they can get in the world. Well, I think if you go over here, maybe, you know, they might can help you or they might got some program over here that can help you. And I'm not against programs. Don't misunderstand me. But I want to tell you what. God didn't call us to raise up a program. God called us to be filled with the Spirit and to have something of Him that is tangible flowing out of us in our words and in our touch and in our prayers. And when people come in contact with it, they are changed. They are different. Notice he said, speaking to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. He said, sing and make music in your heart. Are you doing it? Are you singing and making music in your heart? If you're not, then you know what? Go back and drink some more. Go back and drink some more. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. Keep drinking. You know, the Bible, many illustrations that are used to typify, notice he says, don't be drunk with wine. The implication is, but be drunk with the Spirit. It's okay to be, it's okay to be drunk. Amen. Some of you need to get drunk with the Holy Spirit. Paul's there. I got your attention, though, didn't I? The pastor said, listen, that's what the Bible says. You ever seen anybody that had too much to drink? I'm talking about in the natural now. Oh, buddy. It was obvious, wasn't it? Listen, what about us? What about us? He said, don't be drunk with wine anymore, but be what? Drunk with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. When they get full of that natural spirit, it begins to alter their behavior, doesn't it? It begins in some ways to control their behavior, doesn't it? When we get filled with the Spirit, when we get drunk with the Spirit, it's going to alter your behavior. It's going to begin to control your behavior somewhat. You're going to begin to act differently. You're going to begin to talk differently. People are going to look at you and say, something different about that person. There's something about you. What's going on here? And something will touch their lives and make a difference. When's the last time you was drunk on the Spirit? Man, I can remember. Remember when we first got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? Remember, man, we'd go to those meetings. Oh, dear God in heaven. We were just absolutely crazy. Crazy about Jesus. Fanatics. Fanatics. Bless God, I'm not a Dolphin fan. I'm not a Jet fan. I'm a Jesus fan. I'm a fanatic for Jesus. You know, you see those football games. You know, I enjoy football. But, you know, you watch some of those football games. I mean, but people are all painted up. They'll be painted the color of their team's colors. I mean, they paint their body. It's wild. Absolutely wild, isn't it? Paint their bodies all up and everything. You know, we get in church and somebody shouts one time. Somebody's all upset. You know what? I found this out. I'm going to be honest with you. I found this out. Sometimes, you know, I understand, you know, anybody can get the access. But, most of the time is this, when something's going on like that and you start having that kind of reaction, you know what? That's a good indicator that, you know, your glass is not full enough. I don't like that. That sister shouts. That brother says amen. Somebody stands up and lifts their hands, and I don't like that. Well, you need to fill your glass up more. Come on. Well, that service goes too long. Well, you need to fill your glass up some more. I'm shooting for the touchdown. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Listen, Grace. I want to encourage you. I believe this. I believe we're living in a time of great opportunity. But listen, let's don't look around and say, well, yeah, now I know this. I know God's going to probably use that one and that one and that one and probably that one. Come on. That may be true. But listen, that's not all He wants to use. He wants to use you and I. You know, just like Joe the plumber. We could be Joe the Christian. Amen? It's true. Listen, it's not who you and I are. It's who God is in us. It's who God is in us. If we get that across. But here's the thing. And I don't understand it fully. You know, I just say, why doesn't God just... I mean, if He wants to use, just come on us, bless God and do it. But God gave us a free will, didn't He? He said, if you are willing, if you are hungry, if you are thirsty, He said, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to satisfy you afresh and anew. And here's what I believe God's calling us to, Grace. He's saying to us, we need to stir ourselves up. We need to examine ourselves. Listen, from the preacher on down. You know, I'm not preaching this to you as though I was up on the mount with Moses. But I'm just saying, you know, here's the thing. You know, God's going to use a messenger. Amen. You know, He used a donkey. That always encouraged me. I like that term rather than the other term. It's a little more flattering. But listen, God wants to use us. But here's the thing. Only if we're filled with the Spirit. Because, see, if we're not filled with the Spirit, your flesh and your natural mind will hold you back. I found this to be true. God wants to use me to speak to somebody, to pray for somebody, to reach out to somebody. If I'm not under the control of the Holy Spirit, my natural mind will say, oh, now, this is not a good place. This is not a... I mean, what are they going to think? You're some kind of nut. Come on. Lord of mercy. You need to go home and get right yourself. You don't need to be telling them. Come on. But see, when I'm filled, it's almost, you know, before I know it. Man, hey, you look kind of sad. Is everything okay? Is everything okay? I mean, that's all you have. You don't have to spout 14 dozen scriptures. They're not going to know what you're talking about most times anyway. Just, is everything okay? You'll be surprised how many people will open up to you. Yeah, you know, I want to pray for you. God wants to. And then see, we know when we pray, that's not just a nice little platitude to make them feel better for the moment. We know it's truth behind it. There's power behind it. God's throne is behind it. And when I pray for them, God's going to invade their life. And they're going to know God's real. And that's going to cause them to either seek me out or seek God out or seek somebody with God. I don't care who. Amen. God gets all the credit and the glory anyhow. What do I care? I just want to see God move in people's lives. I just want to see God do it. I'm not looking to build some great empire, build some great work. Say, oh, look at him. Look what he did. Who cares about that? I want people to look and say, look what God did. Look what God did in that life. And you know what? The wild thing is, he used me. It's still blowing my mind. It's just absolutely incredible. I promise you, if God could use me, he could use anybody. He's not looking for the smartest, the brightest, the most eloquent speaker. That's obvious, isn't it? But he is looking for people who are willing. And I know this. There's a lot of things I'm not that I need to be, but I'm telling you what, I am willing. I am willing. And I want to ask you this morning, this is our altar call. Are you willing to be filled with the Spirit? Oh, maybe you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you've spoken with tongues. Wonderful. But I'm asking you today, where's the water level of the Spirit in your life? Is it flowing over? Is it halfway? Or has it got down so low that if anybody else drinks from your glass, you're going to be in trouble? I ain't got enough water to go around. Listen, Jesus said it was supposed to be in us like an artesian well. Constantly bubbling over, bubbling over, bubbling over. And if that's not the case this morning, if I were you, I would cry out to God. I'd say, God, I'm stirring myself to seek you. I'm stirring myself, God. I want to seek your face. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to take a moment or two and we're going to seek God here. It's only 4 minutes after 12, in case you're wondering. It's early. You don't have a service tonight, so you got the rest of the day to rest. But I want to tell you, you examine yourself. Let the Holy Spirit show you. I'm going to lead us in prayer. Raul's going to play there. And we're going to cry out to God. Listen, don't do it because of the preacher. Do it because of God. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. And listen, not only do you need it and your family need it. Listen, hurting people out there need it. They need the church to rise up. They need us to have the real deal, to be the real deal. We can do it. Because God's with us. Father, right now as I pray here, God, Father, I thank you that all over the auditorium here, people are praying. They're crying out to you now, God. They're saying, God, I am dry, but Lord, just as Aaron's rod budded, I know that in your presence, life will flow again. I know that in your presence, oh God, I can shoot forth new leaves and fruit can grow again upon me. I know that again, oh God, that being filled with your Spirit and your presence, oh God, there can come a fresh anointing and a new power that will flow not only in my life, but will flow out for hurting people all around me. God, we are hungry for you. We are hungry for you. We cry out, oh God, Father, pour out your Spirit afresh and anew upon us. Oh God, may we overflow again with the Spirit of the living God. May the touch of God flow from our hands. May our words be freighted and filled with life-giving power of the Spirit of God. Oh, Father, here at Grace, use us, oh God. Use us, oh God. Father, I cry out on behalf of this church. Use us, oh God. We stir ourselves up. We cry out for a fresh infilling of the Holy Ghost. A fresh infilling, oh God. Send times of refreshing. Let the visitation of God come upon us afresh and anew, oh God. In this place, oh God. Oh, we cry out, oh God. Father, I pray that a hunger will arise. A hunger and a thirsting for you will arise within Grace. A hunger and a thirsting for the living God. We will not be satisfied with just getting to heaven, oh God. But Father, we want to be filled with the presence and power of the living God to make a difference in our generation, oh God. Father, let a passion arise within us. Stir our hearts, O God. Stir our hearts, O God. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I've never really invited Jesus into my heart to be my Savior. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Would you just, if that's you, wave your hand toward me so I can see if people got their hands. Anybody in here? I don't see any hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, 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 Father. Father, we hunger and thirst for you. I'm going to ask your indulgence just a little bit further. Just as an act of faith, could we take a couple of minutes? If that's the cry of your heart, would you just come down here around the altar just as an act of faith? If you can. If you can, I understand. Just as an act of faith. You know, the Bible says faith without works. There's just something about taking a step. I know in the natural it doesn't mean anything, and you can sit out there and be just as committed. I'm not saying that. But if you can, if you so desire. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, there are hungry people here. There are hungry people here at Grace. God, there's a stirring going on. Father, I see the cloud the size of a man's fist, oh God. But I hear the abundance of rain. There is abundance of rain that is coming, oh God. You're going to pour it out on the dry places. Upon the hungry, oh God, they're going to be satisfied. The thirsty are going to be filled. I see it, oh God. There's a hunger that's stirring here at Grace. There is a hunger. There is a hunger upon the young and old alike. There is a hunger that's stirring. There is a stirring, oh God. I thank you that you will meet the cry of our heart. You will meet the hunger here. Oh God, God, I thank you that we will even seem like we are brand new, newly filled with the Spirit. Oh God, I thank you there's going to be a new sense of expectancy. Oh God, I thank you that dreams we've laid down are going to be revived. The vision of God's going to come forth. Those ministries that you've called, oh God, they're going to come forth. We're going to pick them back up again. We're going to take them back up again. We're going to let go of discouragement and disappointments, oh God. We're going to let go of fear and doubts, oh God, and we're going to put our eyes afresh upon you. You are our refuge. You are our God. We hunger for you. We will be those of this generation that make a difference. Oh God, I thank you. We are hungry for you. We're hungry for you for a fresh touch. Oh God. Oh God, visit us again. Visit us again, oh God. Visit us again, I pray. I pray, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As Aaron's rod, so shall we bud. We will put out green leaves again. We will be fruitful, O God. We will display the anointing and touch of God upon our lives, that we are chosen and called and anointed of you. O God, I thank you. Thank you for this people. Thank you for the hunger. Thank you for the hunger. Thank you for the hunger that is in this place. O God. We will not be denied, and we will not be disappointed. Thank you for your faithfulness, O God. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.